She's the talk of the town. You wanna be around to hear what Marge will say. What's going on in our hometown? What's the buzz today? She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give Marge a cheer. Marge Hazelnut. She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give her a cheer. Marge Hazelnut.
And good morning. It's Friday, October the 19th, 2018. This is the Talk of the Town with Marge Hazelnut. Marge, here we are for another Friday. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing well. Last night I went to a, I guess I don't want to say the business, but I went to a business and they were having one of these trick-or-treat things. Mm. And I tell you, these kids are very creative in their costumes.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a girl dressed up as a donut.
Oh, my.
Oh, and I don't know what she used, but it was it looked like maybe like an inner tube, and she painted it like a donut. I saw people dressed up, of course, like the typical Spider-Man and things like that. But a lot of people put a lot of effort in their costumes.
Well, when we were kids, we were during the war. World War II. Now, it wasn't World War I, but it was World War II. So what we did is I wore some of my dad's old clothes that were kind of rickety with paint splashed on them, whatever, and that's the way we went around. And you know what we did? We sang to the people, whether they liked it or not, but we all had good voices, and we all were in choir at school, so we sang, and they loved it. The older people loved it. And they would give us some candy or popcorn balls or whatever. And popcorn balls, for some odd reason, popcorn would stick in my throat. So I didn't really want any of that. But we took it and went home and gave it to somebody else that would like it. But we had fun, but we didn't elaborately do anything because we didn't have it to do with. I mean, the war effort. We gave everything. My dad tore his Model T Ford down and gave it to the war. That's how well people... You revered the whole situation.
Well, they really did. And I think back to that time, what I've read about it, is that everybody was involved in the war effort in some way.
My dad bought war bonds all the time, and my class always won. And everybody wanted to be in Hazel or Ryder's class because my dad always bought war bonds and amassed a lot of money because you couldn't buy anything anyway. So we were able to get some funds put together, and we always lived nice.
Now, do you remember the rationing?
Do I remember that? I wish we'd have kept those tokens, but my mom didn't even want them around. And unfortunately, I wasn't old enough to realize it was a prize thing to have. But anyway, yes, I sure do. We rationed nylons. I didn't. My mother only had a couple pair of nylons, and boy, don't touch them. Don't touch them. You have to put socks on to put your... hosiery on. So, yes, I do remember rationing very, very well.
Now, the rationing was because we were not getting things from overseas.
Right.
And that was a bit, you know, I always wondered, people always talk about the draft, and yeah, that was there too, but I think if people actually had to ration stuff, I don't think we would be all that in a hurry to get involved in wars if we actually had to do things like that.
I think that when I, recollect third grade would be about when I started recognizing that type of thing. I think that we children suffered more. We had a half a sheet of paper to do a whole day's work on. And boy, you better write pretty small, and you better really hang on to that piece of paper because that's what the exam would be over. And that was like third and fourth grade. So, yes, I remember the war very, very well because my father was out there. We were taking trash to the junkyard. And I remember that one of the kids upset my wagon on the railroad track. It would have derailed the railroad track. But I finally got it off, and the whistle was blowing and blowing. But I had to get that wagon off of there. And I got the wagon off, and the engineer yelled out, "Honey, get off the railroad track. There's another one coming." I thought, oh, good God, I'll get killed one way or the other. But we were so involved. We were out picking up junk. We were out taking this stuff to the junkyard because we went past a junkyard that was off of the main street of Tiffin. And we were always pulling wagons around with junk in.
Now, what was school like during the war?
Very rationed. Very rationed. Pledged allegiance to the flag 2-3 times a day. My mother made our clothes, and you won't remember any of this, but we used to get up on the wagon when they brought the feed for the cattle and so forth and cows and stuff to the farm, and we got to pick out our next dress.
Oh.
We made our dresses, and my mother made our clothes out of the feed sacks.
Well, you know, and I think people made their own food, too.
We did not buy it. That's why my dad was wealthy in the end, because we didn't buy anything. We made everything. My dad had an orchard. My grandfather had an orchard. We got things, you know, like plums and peaches, and I don't like fruit to this day. Could we eat enough of that to drown a rat? So we had that all the time. We made a garden. Everybody had, what did they call that garden? Victory garden. We had a victory garden. We had dahlias in front of the fruit and vegetables and things, but we had a victory garden. Hand-me-down clothes. I don't want anybody to give me any hand-me-down clothes. I don't want them, you know.
Went through enough of that.
I wore enough of that. I wore feed sack dresses. Nobody knew it. They were really good material. They were material, actually, that you did make clothes out of. So we wore those around.
Now, what was a victory garden?
A victory garden is fruit and vegetables.
Fruit and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And your father, what work was he doing?
My father was at the Sterling Grinding Wheel in Tiffin. He was the night foreman and had all the men. And nobody wanted the women because they would fight. And they told my daddies what he could do and he couldn't do. My dad said, "I'll knock their heads together." He said, "They're not going to act about me to death. They're going to come in and act like humans." And so the first night they came in fighting on the floor, rolling around, my dad picked him right up and he said, "Now I'm telling you right now what's going to happen. I'll crack your heads together. If your head falls off, then your head falls off. You're going to straighten up. You're going to fly right in here. We're not going to have this. We will bring meals. We can all put our food together. We can serve it and have real good meals. My wife will do cakes and pies, all you want of them." And so anyway, he had them people eating off his hand. And if he was alive today, and if any of them were alive, they would probably say he was the best thing that ever happened to us. They straightened right up.
That's good.
They didn't fight. They were very nice. They came well-groomed. My dad said, "We're going to run a nice place, and we're going to be revered. And you're not going to act like hoodlums." That's where my cats get the name hoodlum. When they act up, I say, "You're like my dad's women that worked in the plant. They were hoodlums, and you're a hoodlum." But really, basically, they just needed somebody to be kind to them.
Now, by the time the Korean War started, what were you doing, Marge?
I was in college.
In college. That was the 50s. Now, Vietnam was, what an interesting war that was.
Yeah, but, mm-hmm.
Now, you
but
were...
You know, yeah, I was probably... Well, I guess I'd have been married probably by that time. Yeah.
60s,
but
70s.
In the 60s, I got married in 61. But I'd been nursing for a couple of years before that.
Now, didn't you lose a family member in the Vietnam War?
Yes, my sister's husband left 4 kids.
Mm. That was a war where the draft stopped, where we stopped a lot of things that we had done.
I don't even have anything like that I know of in here.
I don't know. Something's going off somewhere. You're tuned into the Talk of the Town with Marge Hazlett this Friday morning. It is 25 minutes past the hour.
I don't know where that came from.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes, it is interesting because I wonder what's in my purse that would be doing that.
Yeah, I don't know where that came
something
from. Something in the purse.
I don't know. very interesting.
So somebody's trying to get a hold of you.
And I don't even give that number out. It must be this.
Yeah, it must be. Huh. Must have went off there.
I have no idea.
Oh, well. Who knows?
I don't know how to turn it off. I don't know anything about electronics. That's why it's going off in my purse.
Now, what year I saw some paperwork this week, or maybe it was on Facebook, that the Ohio State campus is celebrating 50 years, that the buildings have been there now?
I believe that would probably be about right.
What was it like there in the early days?
Well run. You knew where you stood. It was a very clean, neat, small little building. But we all, at that time, we were in that building that they're renovating now, 50 years later. And believe me, they didn't do much in between. But they have now.
Now, what year did you start there?
I came to Marion in 1960, 61. And I started right after I got here. But I was a registered nurse, and I had a degree in nursing. And also, I have a degree in chemistry. Can you imagine that?
Chemistry.
I thought I'd never get through the math.
Chemistry is rough for a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. It was the math part. But I wasn't in any danger of failing, but I always thought I was.
You know, I took a little bit of all the sciences, and chemistry was the one I liked the least.
Well, I think I liked it least because I was afraid of it.
Well, you had to know all the signs and all the what they were and what they meant, and it's like learning a foreign language.
Well, when I looked when Mommy was looking through my Vita and so forth, and I saw that I did a degree in chemistry, I about passed out. I just knew I had trouble with math. It wasn't anything else. I didn't have trouble with anything else with it. And then when I married Hal, everybody teased me about marrying him because he was math. And I said, that's okay. He can't pound it in my head either. So, but I finally got over being afraid of it. I wasn't as afraid with him being around. At least I knew somebody I could go and ask anyone. Because Hal would never make fun of anyone that had a problem with math. In fact, we had to put a limit as to how late kids could stay at our house because parents would bring the kids, pick them up as late as midnight. That's how some of these kids got through math.
Now, what degree did Hal have?
Had a degree in pure math.
Pure math.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And he was invited to stay where he graduated from over at, it went right out of my head. It'll come back. But Iowa is where he went. He and five other men, when they got out of the service, decided they were all going to go to the University of Iowa because it was a great teaching college. And so they all met up. As soon as they got out of the service, they met up and they all graduated from the University of Iowa.
That's nice.
And it was a terrific educational school.
Now, how did he end up in Ohio?
Well, his mother and dad lived in West Virginia, and he didn't want to live there. And so he looked around for places and found Marion was hiring somebody in math. Came, they took him right off the bat because he was straight A and very, very good with students. And like I said, we had to put the limit at midnight. They had to be out of the house. I told him, I have to drive because I drove all the north part of the state. And I said, I can't be sleepy and fall asleep in a wheel or hurt somebody or myself. I got to have my rest.
Now, how did you meet Hal?
Well, one of my students was madly in love with him. And, of course, she was a kid in the class when he had it. And she liked him, and she wanted me to meet him. And so I met him. Oh, he stood me up.
Oh.
Stood me up. I said, well, fool with you. I mean, I want a doctor anyway. What the heck? I don't need you. So probably 6 months later, I got this letter. He wanted to meet me. And I thought, yeah, you're going to meet me like nothing. I don't have anything to do with you. So I told the little student, she was in my class, I said, you tell that man, I do not want to meet him. I do not want to be bothered with him. I live in a different world than he lives in. I'm not math-minded. I'm medically minded, and that's where I'm staying. So I didn't pay more attention. He wrote a couple letters, and I threw them in the trash. I didn't open them. So finally, I think she came into my room one night and said, look, I'm embarrassed. You know, I told him I'd get you to date him one time. I said one time and that's it. No more. So I met him. And so then he called and we went out a couple times and that was the rest of it.
And that's how it all happened.
There's how it happened.
Now, so many people remember him. You were married to him. What kind of a guy? How would
he
you describe him?
He was a very low-key person.
Low-key.
Very, I'm short-tempered. I can fly off the handle and be mad for about 5 seconds. If he's mad, he's mad for a long time. But he doesn't, he never held a grudge against anybody that I know of. But he was not a person to get upset over things. Like I mean, I get upset over silly things, but he never did. And he was a very good person to help around the house. Because I couldn't have worked 4 jobs if he hadn't.
Now, he was also involved in the dance club with Martha
Dawes. Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. He was president a couple times. And they were real close. Martha and he were close. It wasn't me and Martha. So I really didn't know her that well. But he was very, very involved with the dance club. And a wonderful dancer.
And they ended up raising a lot of money.
Oh, yes, they did. Hal and, I don't know, quite a few of the women and men in there. He was really into it. He loved it. And Martha was really a very good person.
What were those Rollins dances like? Did you go to those
yes.
Rollins? What were those like?
Oh, they were wonderful. We wore ballroom dresses. That's when I'd get a brand new dress, but I didn't buy them around Marion because we didn't have them. We went to Huntington, and Huntington is a fairly big city and beautiful clothes. And so this one store knew Hal because he worked in it as a kid in high school. And so we were kept on the records, you know, and had beautiful gowns. And the crazy part of it is I had a one-of-a-kind dress, got to the ball here in Marion, and a woman had one just like mine.
Is that right?
And I told her, I said, you know, I don't mind you having the dress, but I paid a lot of money for this dress to have it be a one-of-a-kind. And I said, I'm going to call them because I said, we buy my clothes there. And they sent me my money back and told me to keep the dress.
Oh, well, that's good.
Mm-hmm. And so I wore my dress. She wore her dress, and we both laughed. But she was a wonderful person. We became very good friends over.
Now, what was Martha like in those days?
Very, very beautiful. People really looked up to her. I would say she was a trendsetter. Always had the most beautiful clothes, jewelry. I was lucky to have a little ring.
Mm-hmm. And Joe Manessi.
Oh, Joe did whatever Martha wanted him to do. Very lovely person.
So she kind of ran the...
Oh, she ran the show.
Yeah, ran the show there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's great that she's still with us.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, still saw her last night, a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Still
getting along pretty good.
Yeah, getting along pretty good. I think she listens from time to time, which is nice. Mm-hmm. So it's always good to hear and talk to Martha.
Martha, if you're listening, we love you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. There were a lot of people in the community at that time, like the Hamiltons and Madge Cooper and Merle Hamilton, and just a lot of people who I think really cared about the community of Marion.
Well, that's really funny because I didn't know one person in this town, not one person. My grandfather came over here to the Huber all the time. I loved the Huber. I got in there. I sat up on those tractors. I couldn't wait to get home and got our tractor back home running again, and I would drive it all the time. I love that tractor. I can't wait to go out. I'm on the board.
There you go.
I really am excited about it. I'll be there tomorrow for the first meeting that I will attend. So I'm excited about that because I love that. I just love that tractor. And did I bring my pictures in?
I think we at the fair.
Yeah, I think
we saw them at the fair, yeah.
Right.
Well, and I of course, at that time, Mary Ellen Withrow was involved in the community.
Oh, yes, all of these people.
All these people.
And I didn't know that they were wealthy or poor or whatever because I was too busy trying to make a living. And Hal and I, neither one made good money. In teaching. I made better money in nursing. But they didn't have anything here. And so Dr. Brown was so gracious and he called me and asked me if I'd like to teach. I said, I don't know how to teach. He said, didn't you teach nursing? I said, yes. He said, the same type of thing. I said, okay, I'll give it a swing. We'll find out what it's all like. But I think I've told you this before, but I had this really brilliant kid that got failed because he wouldn't keep his mouth closed. I thought it was a poor way of disciplining a kid to fail him in school. But anyway, he got failed. So Dr. Brown came around and asked him, of all people, how's this Mrs. Hazlett doing? I can see that kid. Yeah, going. Well, Dr. Brown is like this. I have to teach her everything she knows. She just doesn't get it. I go, what? He let it go. So afterwards, he said, that kid will probably go a long ways in education because he loves it. He eats it, sleeps it, his mother told him. So anyway, this kid somewhere in the East became a superintendent of schools, and I don't know where.
Is that right?
Because I got a letter from him, and I never heard more from him. So I don't know if he died young or what. But anyway, wonderful kid.
I tell you, Doc Brown was one of those people,
oh,
too,
I loved him.
Who was just a fascinating guy.
Especially to somebody that was, I didn't know anything about teaching fourth grade. All I knew is I played school a lot. So I taught it the way I played school. I had fun with it. I loved every minute of my fourth grade teaching.
Now, when you came to Marion, what was the hospital like here?
They were building one.
Building one.
Mm-hmm.
So where did people go if they got sick?
They went to the one there on, right across from the park.
Oh.
Over on, what's that street that goes through Marion? See, I can't remember some of these
things.
I
know, were they building the one on Delaware Avenue?
Delaware Avenue.
Yeah. Well, and that later on became City Hall.
Right.
And then City Hall moved to where it is now. But now they call it the
Cemetery is what I was trying to think of.
Cemetery, yeah.
Now.
So they were building that when you came.
Mm-hmm.
So they were building the new hospital.
Yeah, they were building the new one.
Right. So what was that hospital like? Did you ever?
Very small. I was used to a large hospital.
Yeah.
And coming here to Little Marion, I decided I'd like teaching fourth grade too well to give it up. And when the kids found out that I was thinking about it, no, no, Mrs. A, you can't leave us. I said, no, I'm not going to leave you. I like it.
So when did you eventually leave and go to college, to teach college?
Wasn't too many years because that's what I did before I came to Marion. Maybe three or four.
Now, how did you get into psychology?
I always wanted to be a psychologist. I liked psychology. I liked it in college. And one of the professors liked me. And he said, Margaret, I'm going to see till you get into the College of Psychology. And that's how I got in.
You know, a lot of people are a little afraid of that. What do you like about psychology?
I like trying to help people see how they can function and how they can improve themselves. And I think that was one of my efforts that I had, is that I love people and I want them to be happy and I want them to be as adjusted as they can possibly be. So I was in with Kay Stout. A lot of people know Dr. Stout. We were in practice together for years and we had a wonderful experience, really wonderful time. And then we moved to my office over on Center Street, and we remodeled it, and it's a mess now. It's just a wreck. But I just can't do anything more with it right now. But anyway, I loved that, and I did adults then too. And I did BVR, Bureau of Vocational Rehabilitation. I did that. I was looking at my Vita the other day, and I about passed, so I thought, well, I really did do some things here in my life. But I enjoyed Marion, and I've enjoyed it. I feel like it's really home to me.
What was a common problem that people came to you with when you were counseling them?
I think people were very anxious. They were afraid of themselves, even. They just needed to be reassured all the time. And marital problems, you know, and sometimes they were just silly things. But to them, they were big things.
Now, do you think most people can work through them, or did they need to separate?
They need a little bit of help.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's minor, but to them, it was a big thing. And I just love to help people solve problems. And I would always make sure they went to school. A lot of them thought they couldn't go to college. And I have several. In fact, last night, one of my students called me. I have about 10 students that call me, kind of like a circle type situation. They take turns calling me.
That's
and we
nice.
Still have about 10 of them in the group, boys and girls. We had a lot of fun.
Now, when you were teaching college, how many years did you do that?
Came here in 61, started teaching shortly after that. I think I left, about 30 years later?
Yeah. So it was a good long run.
Oh, it was a long run.
Yeah.
And I loved it to death, and I hated to leave. But you know, when you're not needed or wanted, you want to get out because people stay too long.
So how many classes did you teach in a given week?
Sometimes I taught four.
Four. Now, is it harder to grade college papers?
Not really. Either they know it or they don't know it. But if they didn't understand what they were writing, I brought them in and talked to them and showed them how to do it.
Now, did you keep a lot of office hours?
Oh, I was at that university like it was my home. I really did, really was. They were till 11 o'clock a lot of nights because we talked till 10. And then if anybody needed help, you stayed on. It's not like today, see how fast you can get out of the parking lot. Never did that. And we didn't live near the university. We lived in town, so to speak.
Well, this is where I think technology has messed things up, because people say, well, I'll email you, I'll call you, I'll do this. Well, when I was in school, even when I was in college, the professors didn't have emails. If you didn't catch them at school, you didn't catch them.
That's right. But many of us left them call us at home. Hal and I both did. In fact, if they were really in trouble with, you know, math, I could feel for them. And I'd say, well, let me see what Hal's doing right now. Let's see if he has a minute that he could work you in. And he'd say, send him over. So we didn't get to bed early at all. And Hal was always helping students. I don't think he'd ever turn anybody away.
That's nice.
He always helped. He loved it. And he always loved to help people.
Now, when you were teaching little kids, did you do a lot with Halloween?
Well, not really, because the school really didn't. They didn't care that if you did something in your room, but they weren't going to say, yeah, well, go around like they do today. They don't do that.
Well, now they've turned it into harvest time.
Yes.
They don't say Halloween anymore.
No, we talk harvest.
Now it's harvest, and it has more to do with pumpkins and hay and mm-hmm. things like that. Now, I don't know if Halloween had a bad connotation or what.
I think it did for a while. I think it was, some of it was brought on because of some people having some ideas that it was pagan.
Yeah, I think it was pagan.
And so I thought, you know, that's silly. But we, in my classroom, Mr. Bingman was the principal, wonderful man, very understanding. If you didn't want to do anything for Halloween in your room, that was okay. But the parents had to say, yeah, we'll go along with it. But most of the parents would say, no, if the other children are having it, we want our children to have it. And we did a lot of pumpkins. We got pumpkins. My father would plant pumpkins, and we brought the pumpkins to school, or I'd go out to the farm to get them. And that was just down here to Forest, not Forest, was Harpster. We'd go down there to get pumpkins and bring them in, and we'd carve them in school, and we had a lot of fun doing that. And then the children took the pumpkins home and used them at their house. But the school didn't really promote it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I know all these kids now have food allergies and gluten-free and all this. And I wonder what people used to do. Because this,
suffer it through?
I guess.
I always had trouble with my stomach.
Yeah.
Still do. I have to be careful what I eat. But, you know, we didn't make a big deal out of it. You know, I probably ate stuff that I shouldn't have been eating. But that's what we had, so that's what we ate.
Now everybody has a peanut allergy.
Yes.
All of a sudden it's peanut allergy, so you can't have peanut butter cookies or peanut butter anything.
Mm-hmm.
I had never, that came out of nowhere.
Yes.
This allergy to peanuts.
Well, we have some people who just get off into some kind of a tantrum. I mean, they think they know everything about everything. And I don't know, some of it I think is kind of hatched up.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know how long this is going to last, because it's putting a lot of constraints on kids. Because you're just trying to bring a treat for the class. Now you got to buy special this and special that and special this. I don't know that any kids were ever traumatized by all this.
I don't think we were. And I can remember when I taught school, we could take and make cookies in our classroom, you know, learn how to bake, measures, what it was for. And we were allowed to take them down to the oven in the basement and then bring them back up. And we all had hot cookies. And if we had some left over, we'd give them to the teacher next door, and they would have cookies. We make plenty, always made plenty for our floor. But, you know, we did those things, and the children loved it. We loved it. They learned, because they learned to measure.
Now there's all kinds of things in place, roadblocks in place that would stop all this.
Oh, yes, yes. You wouldn't dare feed them. My heavens, we might cause their death or something. I never saw a kid die over in this. Never saw him die in pediatrics over it either. I don't know.
It's a strange world we live in, because we're very conservative when it comes to doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is absolutely frightened to do the wrong thing.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, I guess from time to time you do the wrong thing, but who's perfect?
I don't know. I never accepted pills or anything from anybody's family, you know, or anything, because I just didn't. I don't take much medicine, never did, and never will probably. But I can remember that my dad would say, now, when you go over to so-and-so for, don't take any pills. And I didn't know why, but my dad told me not to do it. I didn't do it. I did not do it. I had no idea what it was or what they were about. But people in my neighborhood didn't hit pills. I don't think any of us took medicine except what doctors prescribed it. And that was a cough syrup. Oh, man, it was good taste and stuff. Boy, oh, boy, I got a lot of that cough syrup.
You know, I was never at anybody's house where they were trying to give me pills. I think that would be a bad sign.
Yeah. Well, we never had either. But now, I never took any.
Now, the cough syrup, I think, has become worse tasting over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they
put it. Doesn't taste too good. I don't know. I don't ever use. I never used it when I was a kid, so I really don't know.
Well, I think there's an alcohol base in cough syrup, and I think that's why they have tried to make it taste not good, so people won't drink it as alcohol.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I think that's what they've done. I don't know what they put in there to make it taste so bad.
I don't
bad.
Know either.
I just learned yesterday that a dollop is a teaspoon.
Oh, yes, I knew that.
When you put a dollop on something, it's a teaspoon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know what I wanted to talk about. Last week, we talked a lot about the Harding Memorial
and
the pictures taken in front of the Harding Memorial. I did get an email back from Sherry Hall about the procedures at the Harding Memorial, and there are no procedures for photographs.
I didn't think there was.
So if you take a photograph, you should be in the clear to do that. But if you want to do a wedding or a graduation or something like that, I guess, you contact the office and they'll work with you to set that up.
Very good.
Yeah. So that's nice to know.
Yes. I think it was nice that you took time to do that.
Well, I think people just got a little too hot in that particular situation. I don't know what caused it. I don't know whose fault it was. But I think now we all know the rules. We know that you can take a picture there. That's not a big issue. Mm-hmm. But if you want to get married there or whatever, you know, do what you need to do. Call the office and they'll be glad to set that up.
Isn't it amazing how people make up stuff and then it just goes and gets bigger and bigger and bigger as it goes on?
I was thinking, I know people have been married there, and I understand why they would be married there, because it is an interesting site.
Mm-hmm.
But, I guess I wouldn't want to be married anywhere, so I guess that's the...
shame. Now, when the day you get married, I'll remind you.
At the Harding Memorial. But it might be a good place to get married, because it is a memorial.
Right.
You know? Because I think all that would be a memory. Do you think that's a good place to get married?
I don't know. I like to go to a church.
Yeah, a lot of people like churches. You know what's popular now? People getting married in the park.
Yes.
I don't know what that's all about.
I don't know, but I got a beautiful park in my backyard. I can go out there and stand by my little table and my big floral in there and...
People are all of a sudden about picnic tables and being married in the park, and they put a little altar out there, and I don't know who marries them, but I don't know. This park thing has become popular.
Yes.
I wonder why more people get married in the summer, spring, and fall than in the winter.
Freeze to death and cold.
But in a church, I would think you'd be
If you got married in a church. Certainly didn't want to be outdoors.
No,
but there are
Ohio.
Some people who love winter and like to be outdoors, and I imagine they get married in the winter. I don't know. Frankly, I like the warm weather. The hot weather doesn't bother me at all.
There used to be a lot of procedures to a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you used to have to do a lot of things that I don't know that we so much pay attention to anymore. The bride wore white. And what were some of the other things that happened? You had a flower girl. You had a ring bearer who was the boy. I don't know that people adhere to that anymore. What do you think, Marge?
I think they do.
You do?
I think most people that have a big wedding do that type of thing.
I have not been to a lot of weddings lately, so I'm not sure.
I haven't been to weddings either. Well, when you get old, they don't bother with you.
I don't know. I never... Well, the weddings I've been to, I really didn't enjoy. Because they have them in the summer, and it's hot, and it's just exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's a little different, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way it goes.
Right.
We're getting to that time of year where families will start to get together, Thanksgiving and Christmas and all these things, New Year's. Boy, it used to be a thing if you were alone on New Year's. That was a bad thing.
I know. I don't know. I don't mind. It's just another night to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's different.
It is. Hello. How are you?
I tell you what, we are going to take a quick little timeout, and we're going to be right back in about 1 minute with the rest of the program. Don't you dare go anywhere. This is WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
This is Steve Boom Boom Cannon, and as the king of trivia, I've got a question for you. Where can you find great talk, open phone lines, and celebrities every day? Now with Scott Spears on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP. We're in Marion, Ohio. Call him at 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.WWGH1071.com.
From 12:10 to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Hello, this is Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and you know, Charlie Evers is a Marion radio legend, and you can catch him right here on WWGH 107.1 FM and streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Charlie also takes your calls on anything under the sun by calling this number, 740-383-9944. Speedy delivery.
The Fahey Bank Charlie Evers Show every Wednesday and Thursday, 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon, and Friday, 1:10 p.m. till 3 p.m. on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. And we're back here, Marge Hazlett, having a good time on this Friday morning.
Yes.
And one of our listeners, Judy Summers, just dropped off something for us there that we'll have to go through later on, but we thank her for doing that. We've had a lot of traffic here this morning. Bob Austin came in and picked up his candy, and Judy's dropped off her thing. So we're open for business. We're open for business. What were we talking? Oh, weddings. You know, yeah, it used to be the...
Your favorite subject.
My favorite subject, yeah. That the people wear white and the people... get married in the park, and I don't know. I don't know what the park thing, and that's what I'm still trying to figure out. Why do they like to get married in the park? Is it because they don't want to get married in the church?
I don't know why people want to get married in the park. Well, maybe because it's a nice, pretty place, as a rule.
Pictures,
and people can, the kids can romp around and scream and holler and whatever they want to do.
Well, we talked about this last week. I think people get married for the pictures.
Probably.
You know, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you said you had somebody going down the aisle who was looking at other...
Well, that's what she told me. She was looking for the next one while she was walking down the aisle, about passed out. I would have never told anyone something like that, even if I thought it.
Right. I mean, that's a little... that's kind of
bad.
I was
so scared when I was walking down the aisle that I didn't think about anything. I was afraid I'd trip and fall down, and my wedding gown was so big. You know, I mean, you know, back then they used to have beautiful big... I don't know how to explain it. You know, just beautiful. They were beautiful. But you could trip easy. And I could just see me with the thing over my head.
A lot of people get those pre-wedding jitters.
I think I did. Boy, I tell you, I think I was ready to run.
Yeah. I think a lot of people get that right before the wedding. But maybe that's why they're getting married in the park.
So they have a long place to run, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that's right. They have a lot of places to hide.
Oh.
A lot of places to hide in the park.
Look for Scott. In the park.
Well, I don't know. Where do you get dressed in the park? I mean, do you have to come already dressed? The bride comes in...
Probably in the car.
In the car? Oh, I see. That just seems like a lot of trouble.
I think it does, too. It does, too.
Because a lot of people spend a lot of dough on these wedding
dresses. Oh, boy, they do.
You know what I'm tired of? I brought this in. These political advertisements. I get these every day in the mail. I don't know how much it costs to mass mail something, but I'll tell you, I'm tired of these things.
I am too.
And we've still got a long way to go. It's only November 19th. We've still got 27 days of this.
We have that many days yet? Well, maybe. I guess you're right.
Yeah. Or maybe 17 days. Is it 17?
I think it's the 17th, I think.
Let's see. 20, 30, yeah, 17 days. But I can't take much more of it.
I'm tired of it.
Now, this one, I don't know, they call it a voter guide. It was put out by the Faith and Freedom Coalition, and it takes our Senate race, our congressional race, and our governor's race, and it has everybody's picture on it. And it says, abortion on demand, Trump tax cuts, defund Planned Parenthood, Obama individual mandate, sanctuary cities, Brett Kavanaugh nomination. And it says, you know, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. I don't, does anybody read these?
I don't know if they do or not.
See,
I think they get it into the waste paper basket more so than anyplace else. I don't think they even leave them at my house. They probably figure I can't read.
Well, I just throw them in the garbage because I have gotten to the point. 1 year I kept them just to see how many of these things came. And boy, there's a lot of them and a lot of money being spent on this. A lot of money.
The money could help others.
Yeah. And I
don't know who that helps.
I don't know if it helps them get elected or not. I really don't know. You know, they got all this literature on here too in fine print. You know when they start putting stuff in,
I can't even read it.
Well, see, when they start putting stuff in fine print, you know it's a little shaky.
Yeah.
I mean, how would anybody know what they really mean or say or do? I think people just got to go in and vote.
Mm-hmm.
I wish more people voted. I think that's a logical thing.
I think it would be a change for a lot of things that's going on in the world if they did all vote. Then everybody had an opportunity to express their opinion. I don't know. I'm so tired of hearing about the women and then what the men did. I don't know. I probably would have beat the guy up. I don't know.
I don't know what's going on. It's a very strange time to live in, and I don't know what this election will mean. I don't know what will happen.
I don't know either.
I was talking with somebody on the phone last night, and I said, you know, I don't know how I'm going to vote on anything.
I don't know.
Mm. I think when I walk into the booth, I'll have to decide, but right. I really don't know.
And I wonder if I'll change my mind on the way there.
Well, at this point, I don't have any person picked out in my mind that I want to vote for. But I just think that it's a strange election in that way. So I don't know what will happen on election day, but boy, I know these news channels will be all over it.
Mm-hmm.
They love that. They love the election day. I don't know what that is all about.
I don't know.
I wonder if they really do get bigger ratings and bigger sponsorships because they never seem to go to commercial on election night.
Mm-mm.
They just sit there and wait for the vote. Okay, well, this person's in the lead, but that's only 88% of the vote counting, and we got to go back to this person. I don't even know how they... Is it? See, I still don't think they count every vote. I don't believe they do. I think that that's an exit poll that they're giving you on election night. How many people are working in these polls?
I don't know. Good morning.
Good morning.
You have any idea on that, Charlie?
Happy to have you here.
Have you ever been there when they've counted the votes?
No.
I mean, what do they feed them into a machine?
I don't know. That would be a good question for the head of the election board.
Well, I think, you know, it's electronic voting now. I don't know if I trust that machine.
I'll be quite pretty.
You know?
I don't know. I trust it.
You do?
Yeah.
Now, how do you know? The first thing you do is you have to slip that card in, and then it pops the thing up, and do you want larger print so you can see what you're voting for? What happens if you hit the wrong button? Have you ever hit the wrong button?
Can't you redo it?
I don't know. I think it's very confusing. Like that write-in thing, you can't even write. Well, you have to hit another button and then type the thing in. I think it's very complicated.
Do you think it's complicated? No. See, she's young.
No, it's complicated.
Really?
They have a back button.
Yeah, but you know, you're in a hurry by the time you get there.
Not me.
You're not in a hurry?
No.
You take your time?
Yeah.
See, you're the people I don't like that day because you're hanging me up.
That's right.
I got places to
go. I like to stand around and talk to people.
Well, you can't talk when you're voting. That's illegal.
No.
The sheriff will cut. Oh, you can do that.
Yeah.
But you can't stand at the voting booth and talk to people.
Out away from the voting machines.
Is that a law?
No.
So you could lean over and look at what the next person was doing?
No, I don't know. Not necessarily. Well,
no to both. So which is it? Can you or can't you?
I don't know.
I know there's, that's, they have like
I
a thing.
Your game.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think that's a strange thing that you can't look at somebody else's vote.
Why would you want to?
Well, I don't know that I want to. Well, curiosity. I'm going to see how they're voting.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't care.
Well, a lot of people look confused. That's all I'm saying, because they're always going back up to the people who are running the, what do you call those, poll workers? They're always going back up to the thing, and they're always asking questions. So obviously they've had some problems. Mm-hmm. Don't you think, Marge?
I would think so, if there are that many people doing it. I've never noticed.
And you've got to show your driver's license, and then they've got to find you, and you've got to electronically sign in, and they give you a card.
Well,
what's on
that
card?
Complicated.
What's on that card?
I don't know.
That you, because you have to give it back to them.
That's right.
See, I don't understand it. Is there a paper ballot that gets printed
They're
out?
They're expensive.
Those
you have
cards?
To give it back? Yeah.
What if you put it in your pocket and just walked out? Would your vote be tabulated?
Well, they'd nab you at the door.
Ideas.
No,
they
give you
a doorkeeper that goes after those cards.
We vote at the same place. We just go out and get a cookie of a donkey or an elephant, and then we get a little sticker, and then we leave.
No, we vote. Then we get the sticker.
Right, but after you get the sticker and the cookie, you leave.
But we don't get cookies where I vote.
You don't get cookies at your vote? Oh, we get cookies. I think it's a big social hour where Charlie and
it
I vote.
It is, yeah.
You go out in the lobby and you talk to people.
And they have chairs you can sit on and sofas.
And the people are just so eager to give you cookies and coffee.
Dayspring.
Yeah, we vote at the Dayspring.
Don't you vote there?
Yeah, it's
I vote where they just have chairs.
I don't even think
hardwood chairs.
Do they have?
Maybe you're lucky if you get one.
No, who are these ladies? They bake the cookies and they decorate them beautifully.
Those are volunteers from the church.
Well, God bless them. It's fun. Hey, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Marge, you've got to go, though.
I've got to go.
Well, Marge, we will see you next week. Brandy and Charlie will be back on the other side for the Exchange Club. Stay tuned.
Nonsense. And I took them to the bank.
It's WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.